Please take a copy of the Word of God or find it on your phone and turn to the book of Galatians and find Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11. In God's providence, this is the very last sermon in the book of Galatians. Our text this morning will be verses 17 and 18 in Paul's final words to the church in Galatia. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to gather here. We're grateful for this time now to soak in the very word of the living God. I pray that this message would not come in simple word only, but would come in the power of the Holy Spirit, would come in power, would come with full conviction. And Father, I thank you that we can trust the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit is using this time in a unique way, because your Word says the Word of God, which also performs its work in all who believe. So we trust that this is true. We ask, Holy Spirit, come and do this work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I want you to find Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11. And I'm going to read through the end of the book. If you would like to stand for that scripture reading, just to stretch before we get to it, you could. Go ahead and stand if you'd like as we read our scripture reading this morning. And then keep your Bibles open in Galatians, because we're going to be traveling all over in the book of Galatians for the next few minutes. Paul writes as he concludes the book of Galatians, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." And then our text this morning and Paul's last words in this magnificent book: "From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen." Paul's final message. You can be seated. Paul's final message, his last word in the book of Galatians, a book that is built around the theme of the truth of the gospel of grace, that is pleading for us to hold fast to the truth of the gospel of grace. Paul's last word in this great book is this: if you hold fast to the truth of the gospel, if you do it, if you hold fast to the truth of the gospel, you will have trouble on this earth. But you will stand now and forever in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Paul's final word. So this morning we're going to look at troubled for the gospel under three headings from these last two verses. Troubled for the gospel. First, let's look at really the command of the passage. Number one, in your outline, if you printed it off, stop troubling Paul. Stop troubling Paul. Verse 17, let's read it again. "From now on," there it is, "from now on, let no one cause me trouble." for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. So you might ask yourself the question, okay, Paul, who's troubling you? Who's been troubling you in the book of Galatians? And the answer is 2 points under this first point. Who's been troubling? Number one, the false teachers have been troubling Paul. And number two, the Galatians themselves have been troubling Paul. And we're going to look at both of those under that heading, Stop Troubling Paul. So first then, how false teachers troubled Paul. How did these false teachers trouble Paul? Remember, the false teachers in the book of Galatians were those who were called Judaizers. Don't worry about the fancy name. They were called Judaizers because they believed that you needed to believe in Jesus and be circumcised in order to be accepted by God. You had to trust in Christ and do the works of the law in order to be accepted by God. And Paul's head blows off in this book with that gospel. So, why? Why is Paul so troubled by these false teachers? There are three reasons in this book that Paul is troubled. Paul's troubled, number one, because they accused Paul of bad motives. They accused Paul of bad motives. False teachers are always throwing mud on motivations for the true preachers of the gospel. They're always trying to get at the character and to undermine the character of the true preachers of the Word of God. So let's look at it and how they did that in chapter 1 and verse 8. Fine, just flip over to chapter 1 and verse 8 of Galatians. Paul writes, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed." Look at verse 10 now. "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." If I were trying to please men, you wouldn't see the marks of Jesus Christ on me. And so right away there's a hint that the false teachers are trying to undermine the ministry of Paul by attacking his character. They're saying, you know what, this Paul guy, Galatians, they've snuck in, you see. The false teachers have snuck in the church. This Paul guy, he's got bad motives. Paul, you've got bad motives. You're just a people pleaser, Paul. You don't preach the whole gospel. You're throwing out the Old Testament. You're throwing it out, Paul. You don't understand your Old Testament. And you're doing that, Paul, because you want to get in with the Gentiles who are in Galatia. And so you're caving into the Gentiles. You're a people pleaser. So false teachers are going to personally attack your character. Moms and dads, false teachers are going to try to worm into your family. And they're going to come after your character. They're going to call you names. And I'll tell you what, if you were going to stand for the gospel in this world, if we were going to stand for the gospel in this world, we are going to be misunderstood. And the attacks will not come just against our theology. The attacks will first and foremost undermine that with our character. Let's not give them anything good to talk about. Second way Paul was attacked. Number one, they accused Paul of bad motives. Number two, they attacked Paul's credentials. They attacked Paul's credentials. If the false teachers are going to undermine Paul's message, then the best way to do that is to attack the messenger. Attack Paul. So, Paul, not only are you a people pleaser, but Galatians, listen to me, the false teachers are telling the Galatians, Paul's way over here, he's not there. Paul is a people pleaser. Look at the Bible, look at the Old Testament. Paul doesn't understand the Old Testament, he's throwing it all out. Paul doesn't get it. He doesn't give you the whole truth of the gospel. He doesn't understand how the Bible works. Paul answers this attack. Did you realize it? That the whole first half of the book of Galatians is Paul answering that attack and defending his credentials? The whole first half of the book. In fact, this attack, he says, it goes all the way through chapter 2 and verse 14. And Paul reminds the Galatians, hold on a minute. I received the gospel through direct revelation of Jesus Christ. He downloaded to me from heaven for 14 years. I didn't make this up. I didn't receive it. This is direct revelation. I am a big A apostle of Jesus Christ. This gospel is not my own. And then he says, and by the way, secondly, he reminds the Galatians that I received the right hand of fellowship from the pillars. That Peter, James, and John said, yes, you have received this gospel from Jesus Christ. And they themselves gave me the right hand of fellowship. And Galatians, if you still don't believe my authority, I can even rebuke one of the pillars and put him in his place. His name was Peter, and he actually sold out the gospel and gave into hypocrisy because he feared man, just like you're accusing me of. I had to actually talk to Peter about his fear of man. Don't tell me I'm fearing man. I have apostolic authority. This is not my gospel. This is from revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, that's one of the ways they were troubling him. You're not a true apostle. You're a fake. Third way they were troubling Paul. And this was the worst one of all. They were announcing a false gospel. That's the way they were troubling Paul the most. Paul doesn't really care about his reputation. He cares about the gospel. They are announcing a false gospel. It's very scary what I'm about to remind you about. So listen carefully. Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul writes in Galatians 2 verse 4, but it was because of the false brethren, watch this, secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. These false teachers had gotten inside the church. They snuck in. They were sneaky. They were sneaky. They were spies. And their whole point is to make you afraid that you're not going to heaven. To take true believers, and number one, take true believers and say, my confidence has got to be a little bit in what I do, not in the cross of Christ. And to take true believers and say, great, I've got Jesus and I can live however I want. They're fine with either error. The devil's fine with either error. It's a false gospel. They'd gotten inside and Paul was troubled by this. He's not even there. And so Paul takes away, he usually has like a whole chapter of niceties in the front of his books. Even to the book of Corinthians, he had some nice things to say. Not so in Galatians. Look at verse 6. Right away, he goes right at it. Galatians 1, verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed, as we have said before. So I say it now again. If any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. And Paul in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7 describes these false teachers as he gets to the heart of the book. In Galatians 5, 7, he describes these false teachers with some pretty powerful words. He says, they are hindering the saints. They are persuading people. They are leavening evil in the church. They are disturbing people. They are persecuting people. And Paul is very direct in verse 12. He says, I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Why is he so passionate? Why is he so troubled by this false gospel? Why are you troubled when your kids walk away from the faith? Are you not troubled? Do you like write a love note to the false teacher who took them away from the faith? No. For you were called to freedom, brethren, Paul says. That's why I'm so agitated. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Don't put a yoke of slavery again upon you. And Paul is passionate about this. Oh, may we at Grace Community Bible Church, in our families, as individuals, and this church, may we be passionate and unashamed about holding fast the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and never letting it go. May we say with Paul, may it be a favorite verse in Galatians that we would say, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is troubled, and if we are believers, we are troubled by the same things. Moms and dads are troubled by this. Individual believers are troubled by this. People who disciple others and are having a hard time are troubled by these same things. We are troubled by those who accuse them of bad motives, those who attack their credentials, and those who announce a false gospel because they have infiltrated the church plant. But it wasn't just the false teachers that were troubling Paul. It was the Galatians themselves. Secondly, then, let's find out how the Galatians troubled Paul. And this is very applicable. Kids, when your mom and dad are troubled, when you're not trusting in Christ, when our kids walk away from the faith, pastors under shepherds, not apostles, but pastors under shepherds in the church, are we not troubled by the things I'm about to announce? What troubled Paul from the church, his beloved Galatians? Number one, they troubled Paul by listening to false teachers, by even giving them an ear. I'm not saying all the Galatians apostatized. I think some of them were on the brink. But he was troubled that they were even giving false teachers an ear. It's troubling when those you love are listening to false teaching in this world's philosophy. Come on, dads. Is it not? Moms? Is it not? Is it not troubling? Paul's not happy about it. Chapter 3 and verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. They'd seen the glory of God in the cross of Christ. They'd experienced the power of the Christ. It was placarded like a sign before them in power in their lives. Paul says, who's bewitched you? How could you give an ear to anything that denigrates the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Paul is troubled that they'd even give them an ear because that ear was causing them to consider abandoning the gospel. Remember verse 6, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Paul is just amazed. He went up on this missions trip up north from Israel into the land of Galatia. He had planted this church in Galatia. They loved him. He loved them. Churches had been planted. They had beheld Jesus Christ and his glory in the gospel. They had experienced the power of the Spirit in their own lives. And in that day when miraculous wonders were happening both outside and inside them as they put away sin and repentance and faith, miracles were happening inside and outside. In that church, he's saying, are you going to throw it all away? Who has bewitched you? How can you go back? Paul was upset by them listening to false teachers. And they were troubling Paul, secondly, by rejecting his love. By rejecting his love. They were troubled because Paul was troubled as a church planter because his beloved Galatians had rejected his love. I want you to turn and see this. Turn to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 4, verse 11. Let's just read it and get a flavor for this. Is everyone there? Galatians 4:11. I fear for you, that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. I beg of you, brethren, look at it. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong. But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where is that sense of blessing that you had? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. Brothers and sisters, you know what troubled Paul? Yes, he was troubled that they were listening to the false teachers, but he was so troubled that they were rejecting his love, that they were breaking relationship and fellowship, they were treating him like an enemy for sharing the truth. They had shared such blessing together, such joy together in the gospel, such stories of God's grace in planting these churches. So much had been done. So many people had been saved. So much ground had been taken for the gospel. I mean, Paul was ugly, apparently, in eyes and pus, and he just wasn't pretty. He didn't look good, but they received him like an angel or even Jesus Christ himself, and now they're treating him like an enemy. And it's breaking Paul's heart. It tells us a little something about the heart of a pastor, doesn't it? It tells us something about the heart of our churches and our love for each other. They rejected his love. Third way the Galatians troubled Paul is by devouring each other within the churches. It really troubled Paul that the Galatians were, are you ready? Like cannibals, because that's what the Greek words mean. They were biting and chewing on each other and trying to consume one another from inside. The disturbance caused by the false teachers and the false teaching sneaking in was causing a lot of debate, a lot of division, a lot of disorganization, and downright destruction of Paul's church plants. And he is not happy about it at all. Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." In Galatians 5, verse 26, "Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." And so Paul is disturbed by the lack of the fruit of the Spirit that he is seeing in the churches. They are not loving one another. Instead, they are biting and devouring one another, and the churches are imploding. It's so sad when a lack of love over different opinions in a church destroys the church. Different opinions, the color. I mean, are we going to have to deal with the color of the carpet once we get the new building? Forget the new building, if that's the case. The color of the carpet, whether you wear a face mask or not, let's at least get feisty about the truth of the gospel. What about those things dividing us? Accept one another. Welcome one another. Bear with one another. Paul says, walk by the Spirit. You know what that looks like? Paul says, love one another. And next week, Pastor Dan, tolerate one another. It grieved Paul. It troubled Paul that the churches were devouring one another. So Paul says, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me. Let's get rid of the false teachers. Galatians, read this letter. Get rid of the false teachers. You say, did you ever preach that? You bet I did. Put them out of the churches. Oh, yeah? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. They're in. They need to be out. That's the answer to the Galatians. Let me tell you the answer to the false teachers. Now, Paul's answer to the Galatians is this. Brothers and sisters. And I love it that he still calls them brothers and sisters. He says, brothers and sisters, don't abandon the gospel. Stop listening to the false teachers that undermine the work of Christ. Don't reject my love and break our relationship. And he says, right? Walk by the Spirit. Love one another, which looks like restoring one another, which looks like bearing one another's burdens, which looks like sharing with one another, which looks like doing good to all, especially of the household of God. Love one another. Don't let this destroy the church. So, number one, stop troubling Paul. And that leads us to our second major heading. Why? Why, Pastor Jeff? Why, Paul? Why to stop troubling Paul? Stop troubling him. Now, why to stop troubling Paul? There's one reason. Look for it in verse 17. Notice the word for. When you see the word for in the Bible, often it's a reason. So, in verse 17, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me. For, there's the reason, I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. That's the reason you all should stop troubling me. For I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. Well, that is an interesting Greek word, brand marks. It was used in that culture a couple of different ways. Sometimes a brand that a master used to mark ownership of slaves, or in some cases, religious tattoos. The medieval church went crazy with this word, stigmata, in the Greek, and in fact had about 321, ask Pastor Dan about this, he knows more, different church historical references of various strange manifestations that they felt literally would be the marks of Jesus appearing on them as they meditate on the cross of Christ. Some would say that there was these blackish welts that would come up and blood would come out of them, or even this hard kind of gray nail would appear. All kinds of different mystical stories from the medieval church. Read about St. Francis of Assisi. But that's not what this means. What does Paul mean? I bear on my, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. These are the scars which Paul bore on his body because he refused to boast in anything and anyone except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25, Paul writes that he was, now listen to this, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 that he was beaten times without number. Five times, he said, he received 39 lashes from the Jews. Paul says in that place that he was three times beaten with rods. And he was once stoned. So, these are the permanent scars of Paul's persecution. And Paul calls them, he bears on his body the marks of union with Jesus Christ, of association with Jesus Christ, of full boasting in Jesus Christ. He bears the marks of persecution for the cross of Christ. From now on, stop troubling me. From now on, I'm telling you, drop the mic, stop troubling me, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. That's what he's saying. Paul says, I have died to the world through the cross. What's the evidence? Look at my back. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus through the cross. You want the evidence? Look right there. Grace and peace has been poured out upon me in full measure. I am one of the blessed Israel of God. I walk by the rule of boasting the cross alone. You want evidence for it? For I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to me that the word for bear, bear, is an interesting word. It's the same word that Luke uses in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27 when he writes that the disciples must take up or bear their own cross daily. Bearing the cross daily and following Jesus. Bearing it. He uses that same word. Bearing the cross to follow Christ outside the camp. Outside the camp to the place of persecution. To follow Jesus Christ outside of the city of Jerusalem to that forsaken hill. To that place of shame. Follow Jesus Christ, bearing the cross to the place of execution, the execution of your self-effort, the execution of your performance treadmill to be saved, the execution of all your sin, the execution of all yourself, where I bear in my own body the marks of Jesus. You know, it's interesting to me, brothers and sisters, just get this. Paul in the book of Colossians calls the marks in his wrist, the marks in his feet, the spear in his side, he calls that awful marking of the cross of Jesus Christ, he calls that, you're ready, he calls it the circumcision of Christ. The circumcision of Christ. The circumcision of Christ are the marks of our redemption. Brothers and sisters, Jesus suffered in your place. Jesus was persecuted for righteousness' sake. We are not better than our Master. If we will identify with Jesus by faith alone, if we'll be united to Jesus, we will be united in His death and in His life, we will suffer for the sake of Christ. All who desire to live righteous in this world will suffer persecution. In union with Jesus, we will bear in our own bodies the marks of Jesus Christ. And so you know what he's doing at the very end of the book of Galatians? You know what he's saying? You false teachers, close your mouths. Close them. You're not willing to suffer for the persecution of the cross. You're not willing to do it. You think the mark of being genuine is a little mark on your foreskin? You think that's the mark of a genuine Christian? Look at my back. This is the mark. Let no one trouble me, for I bear on my bodies the marks of Jesus Christ in association with boasting in the cross alone. That's what he's saying. As we come to the end of the book of Galatians, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed. Hold fast to the gospel. And if you do, you will bear the cross and you will bear the marks of Jesus. You will be rejected. That's bearing his marks. You will be misunderstood. That's bearing his marks. Kids, you might lose a friend in the neighborhood when you stand up for truth. That's bearing the marks. You might lose your job. You might not get a promotion. That's bearing the marks. You might not get invited. That's bearing the marks. And eventually, even in this country, we could lose privilege. That's bearing the marks. We could be physically assaulted in this country. It's here. It's around the corner. That is bearing the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we rejoice that we are counted worthy to suffer for the great name and the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. stop troubling Paul. Why do we stop troubling Paul? Because he bears the marks. And as we conclude the book of Galatians, let me finish with this last point. Why you should stop being troubled. Why you should stop being troubled. There's three reasons. Number one, because the Son has redeemed you by grace. Number one, because the Son has redeemed you by grace. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, that last verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. The grace of Jesus be with your spirit. We don't need to be uncertain about our salvation. We don't need to lack assurance of salvation. Let me say that again. You don't need to lack assurance of salvation. You know why? Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ, brother, sister, the cross of Jesus Christ hasn't saved you for 1,000 years or 10,000 years. The cross of Jesus Christ has saved you forever. Saved you forever. We don't add to the cross. We rest in the cross. We live out the implications of the cross, yes, but the cross has finished it for us. We can stop being troubled because the Son has redeemed you by grace. And the book of Galatians declares that we are justified by faith alone in the finished work of Christ alone. Let's just soak in it for just a couple of minutes in Galatians 2 verse 15. Look at Galatians 2 verse 15. We get to rehearse it one last time. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Verse 17, but if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be, for if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. In other words, Paul says, righteousness can't come from doing the law. It can't come from doing good things. Look down at Galatians 3, verse 10. Look at Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for, there's from Habakkuk, the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. And so he's saying, look, you got to be perfect if you're going to try to keep the law by doing stuff. If you're not, the law will curse you. But he says, I've got good news in verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, Paul comes along and he says, listen, I get the Old Testament. I get the Old Testament. He says, the whole point of the law was to point out to you that you couldn't keep the law. The law was designed to put you in the prison of sin and selfishness. And you couldn't break the bonds. The law itself was designed to be a tutor that says you can't do it and wraps your knuckles and brings you to Jesus Christ and ushers you into the one who did keep the law in your place, to the one who died for all the law that you failed to do and bore the penalty away, for the one who actually lived the law from beginning to end, positively lived the law and has given you that, imputed that to you. You're clothed in the perfections of Jesus Christ. And that's the hope, that's redemption that can come through the cross of Christ, so that Paul can say, listen, he can say this, if we belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and your heirs according to the promise, that you can actually be sons through faith in Christ. And that leads us to the second reason we can stop being troubled. And this is amazing. Because the Father has adopted you by grace. This is from verse 18, all of it. In verse 18, our last verse, there are two unique aspects of that specific conclusion among all of Paul's letters. Did you realize that? The first unique aspect in verse 18 is when Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word our is unique to the book of Galatians. The grace of our. And you know what else is unique in his conclusion? The word brethren. Paul doesn't say that in his other letters. He doesn't call them brothers, but he does here. Our and brothers. What is Paul doing? He is reminding them that in spite of all the trouble and all that's happening and all the unrest and all the uncertainty, they are part of the family of God. They are the true children of Abraham. He's reminding them of the heart of the book of Galatians in Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We can stop being troubled. You can stop being troubled because the Father has not only justified you and redeemed you. Oh, he's taken you into his family, and the Father has adopted you as his son and daughter. And finally, we can stop being troubled because the Spirit has settled you by grace. The Spirit has settled you by grace. Brothers and sisters, in verse 18 it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That is not the Holy Spirit there. He is saying, may this message of the book of Galatians stop you from being troubled. May the gospel give you the peace that passes understanding. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, be with your inner man, be with your heart, be with your emotions. Settle your thoughts, settle you down, get you stabilized to live out into the darkness. That is what Paul wishes. That's his wish for the Galatians, that the gospel would settle them through the power of the Spirit. And that is my final word for us in the book of Galatians. It is my prayer that this gospel would not only be a theological construction that you debate with, but this gospel would settle you and give you comfort in the midst of this world, and give you power and joy and life and rest and confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul ends with grace. But he doesn't end with just grace. He ends with the word amen. You know what that word means, kids? Amen. When you say that, it means let it be so. And so I would say that, let it be so in your life. Let it be so in your families. And let it be so at Grace Community Bible Church. That we let it be that we would hold fast forever to the true gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather. What a blessing, what a gift What a great book. I'm always sad to leave a book. Thank you for the book of Galatians. I pray that we would not quickly forget the finished work of Christ that it proclaims, and that we would forever boast as a church in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful, Lord, that a sinner like me doesn't have to earn your acceptance. If I had to, I couldn't do it. If I ever did it, I'd lose it in a second. I'm thankful for Jesus who died, but he's alive, and he ever lives to intercede for each of us, that our faith would not fail. I'm thankful for his ongoing priestly work of intercession. I'm thankful that he saves us not a little bit. He saves to the uttermost all those who come to him in faith. I do pray, Lord, that if there's a child here, an adult, or someone listening to this live stream, if they are trying to earn their salvation, maybe adding to Jesus what they have done, that they would see that it's only Jesus and his work by which they stand, and that forever. And today, may today be the day of their salvation, when they simply bow the knee to Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I need you, for I'm a sinner. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place and living the life that I could never live. I receive you today. I take you as my own, and I'm not ashamed to bear on my back the marks of association with your great salvation and your gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.